Okay, let's unpack this. Today we're diving into something truly fascinating. It's a method of market analysis that, well, it predates a lot of what we use today, but it also offers this visually stunning and deeply insightful way to understand complex financial movements. You sent us this book, Trading Implications of Japanese Candlestick Charting. And yeah, it's offered some really unexpected perspectives. This isn't just about stocks and commodities, you know, it's about seeing patterns, understanding human behavior maybe, and getting a real shortcut to being well-informed.
Indeed. And what's fascinating here is tracing how these ancient Japanese techniques, I mean, they were originally developed for something as basic as rice trading back in the 17th century, how they've evolved into this powerful, pretty decisive tool for today's global markets. So our goal today is really to pull out the key insights from this book, helping you understand not just what Japanese candlesticks are, but maybe more importantly, why they're still so relevant.
Yeah, that history part was one of the most captivating bits for me. Just discovering how far back these ideas go. I mean, imagine 17th century Japan, long before Western exchanges. Rice merchants were already charting prices. The book credits this man, Soki Homma, became such an expert forecasting rice prices, he was actually honored as a samurai.
Wow.
And his genius wasn't just numbers, right? Homma understood that market moves weren't purely economic.
Right.
He combined traditional Japanese folklore, military techniques, even things like weather and seasonal tendencies.
It's amazing that kind of holistic approach, centuries before we started talking about behavioral economics.
Exactly. And this laid the foundation for modern Japanese technical analysis, including something called Sakata's Five Methods,
Yes.
which fascinatingly focus on specific three candle patterns, things like three white soldiers or three black crows.
Strong signals.
Yeah, signaling strong trend reversals, and
Right.
apparently rooted in the Japanese belief that the number three has divine power.
And that blend, you know, the sociological, psychological, even military teachings woven into these charts. It's really remarkable. Japanese candlestick charts are definitely more than just a colorful way to show data.
Right.
The names themselves are such vivid symbols. You mentioned Hama, but I think rickshaw man, hangman, shooting star, dark cloud cover, three Buddha tops. That's like a complex word picture describing the meaning behind the pattern, kind of like their written language, which just adds another layer.
It really does. So, okay, given what we've just learned about where they came from, how do these candlestick charts actually look? For someone maybe more familiar with, say, standard Western bar charts, what's the main visual difference?
That's a great question. So while Western bar charts show the high, low, open, and close, the key difference with Japanese candlesticks is that they really emphasize the relationship between the opening and the closing price. Rather than just comparing, say, one day's close to the next day's close, the real body of the candle, that's the thicker part, shows the distance between the open and the close. And the shadows, those are the thin lines or wicks, they show the high and low for the period. A white, or sometimes hollow, candle means the close was higher than the open at bullish movement.
Up day.
Exactly. A black or filled-in candle means the open was higher than the close. So bearish movement.
Down day.
And then you have the doji. That's when the open and close are nearly equal, or sometimes exactly equal. This symbolizes pure indecision. The book calls it a clashing of heads between the bulls and the bears.
That's a great image.
It is. And the book really stresses it's one of the most important and should be watched for constantly.
So that clashing of heads for the doji, if it's indecision, does that mean it's mostly a warning sign? Or can it actually be useful sometimes?
It's after a warning, yeah. It indicates a potential shift. Maybe the momentum is fading. But the power of this visual representation, generally, is how it gives you that distilled visual representation of price change. You can kind of discern the market's mood and direction almost at a glance, especially in like congested areas or clear trends. A series of white or black candles immediately shows you the bias, right? It's about that immediate perceptual evidence, not just raw numbers you have to process.
Yeah, it's like you said, pieces to a puzzle, smaller pieces relating to the bigger picture. So, studying candlesticks is basically looking at how each time period relates to the one right before it. We identify a single candle by its size, its color, and where the body sits within those shadows, the wicks. The book brings in concepts like a star, that's a small candle that gaps above or below the previous candle.
That's right. It signals uncertainty, often a potential shift in momentum because of that gap.
And harami, which means pregnant in Japanese.
Yes, and it vividly looks like it. you have a large prior candle, often showing strong momentum, followed by a much smaller candle whose entire body trades within the range of the previous candle's body.
So kind of nestled inside.
Exactly. And this pattern often signals that the prior move might be exhausted, potential indecision, maybe a reversal coming, like the market's pausing to catch its breath.
Interesting.
And we also see major classifications of patterns that are really affected by where they appear on the chart, like umbrellas and stars.
Okay.
The paper umbrellas group includes the hangman and the hammer. A hammer shape appearing at the bottom of a downtrend is generally bullish, suggests a potential bottom and rebound.
Right. Looks like a hammer hitting the bottom.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But that same shape at the top of an uptrend is called a hangman, and that's bearish, signals a potential top.
So the location is critical.
Absolutely critical. Their significance is tied directly to their location. Then you have things called flagship candles. These are specific types, like the hammer or hangman or even a bozu line. That's a candle with almost no shadows, just body, showing really strong conviction.
Okay.
These flagship candles often initiate a market move. They're found at significant tops and bottoms.
So these flagship candles, they aren't just reacting. They're actually starting the move, kicking it off.
That's the idea, yeah. They're seen as leaders of the market action, not just followers.
Does that mean we should trust them more? Or are they still, you know, prone to false signals like anything else?
Well, they're definitely considered powerful initiators. But like any single pattern, they always benefit from confirmation.
Ah, okay.
And that actually leads us really nicely into the next critical layer of insight from this book.
Perfect transition. So we've seen how powerful even a single candle can be, especially in context. But the book reveals this deeper level, taking this ancient wisdom and amplifying it with a modern Western analysis.
Right.
The true power, it suggests, is unleashed when Japanese candlesticks are fused with Western technical indicators. The book calls this the rule of multiple technical techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because most Western indicators are, well, they're lagging indicators, aren't they? They tell you what a market has been doing.
Generally, yes. Right. They're based on past price action.
Whereas candlesticks, they can sometimes act as leading indicators. Give you an earlier hint.
They can, yes. Especially reversal patterns.
But the book argues for them to work reliably, you need to filter them. Especially thinking about whether a market is overbought or oversold.
Exactly. That filtering is crucial. You asked how these Western indicators actually work to refine the signals.
Yeah. How does that fusion happen in practice?
Well, take something like Fibonacci retracement theory. Think of it like finding hidden support and resistance levels based on mathematical ratios derived from, well, the Fibonacci sequence.
Okay, those percentages you sometimes see, like 50% or 61.8%.
Precisely. The market often pauses or reverses around those levels. So if you see a bullish candle pattern, like a hammer, forming right at a key Fibonacci support level.
That adds weight to it.
Immensely. Or take Elliott wave analysis. That's a more complex theory that sees market movements unfolding in predictable wave patterns. It helps anticipate turning points further out. Then you have tools like Bollinger Bands. These are bands drawn above and below moving average. When the bands get really narrow or tighten.
A squeeze.
Exactly, a squeeze. It often precedes a significant price move. Volatility is coming. So seeing a candlestick reversal pattern during or just after a squeeze can be a powerful confirmation.
Okay, I see.
And then there are oscillators, like the stochastic oscillator or the relative strength index, the RSI.
Yeah, I hear those mentioned a lot.
They measure momentum and help identify overbought conditions. Maybe the price has gone up too fast, too far. Usually above 80% on stochastics or 70% on RSI, or oversold conditions, prices fallen too fast, below 20% or 30% respectively.
Uh-huh.
So if you see a bearish candlestick pattern, like a hangman, appear when the RSI is way up in overbought territory.
That's a much stronger sell signal.
Much stronger. These indicators act as critical confirmations. They don't predict on their own necessarily, but they dramatically increase the probability of a candlestick signal being successful. And it's fascinating. Even moving averages, you know, a real cornerstone of Western analysis.
Right.
Japanese experts like Seiki Shimizu noted similar concepts were present in Japan for centuries. So this idea of comparing current price to past movement, it seems almost universal.
Wow. So it's not strictly East versus West, but finding these parallel ideas and then combining the strengths.
Precisely. The synergy is the key.
Okay, so combining Eastern wisdom with Western indicators is powerful enough. But then the book takes us even further into the 20th century and beyond. We're talking computer analysis, even artificial intelligence. Imagine teaching a computer to think like a master trader using these candle patterns.
It's a pretty compelling idea.
The authors discuss how software can obviously identify these patterns way faster and more accurately than a human can eyeball them.
Sure, speed and consistency.
Though they do acknowledge that human element, you know, the subjectivity and intuition, that's still important. You can't just automate everything blindly.
True. Context matters.
So they developed methods to actually teach computers to think more like traders, creating what they call pattern recognition systems.
Right. And the question then becomes, how exactly can a computer learn to do this effectively?
Yeah.
The book talks about two main approaches. First, expert systems. These are kind of pre-trained. You essentially load them up with a huge knowledge base, like coding and all the rules a human expert would use.
So like a digital encyclopedia of trading rules?
In a way, yes. And then there are neural networks. These are different. They are trainable. They can actually store, test, and importantly, refine their own assumptions based on analyzing historical data.
Ah, so they learn from experience.
Exactly. There's a process often called backprop, short for backpropagation. It's basically how the network learns. It makes predictions, checks if they were right or wrong against historical data, and then adjusts its internal connections or rules to get better next time, continually building and refining its knowledge base.
That seems pretty sophisticated.
It is. And the authors actually developed their own software based on these ideas called the Candlestick Forecaster. Apparently, it integrates AI, these expert systems, and the Western technical indicators we talked about.
All together.
Yeah, to interpret over 1,000 different candlestick patterns and combinations and then generate actual buy and sell signals. Mm-hmm. Their ultimate vision culminates in something they call synergistic technical analysis, or STA.
Okay.
The real insight there, I think, is going beyond just layering tools. It's about recognizing how signals amplify each other. So like a single candlestick might just be a whisper. A Western indicator might offer some confirmation. But when you get that perfect alignment, say a bullish hammer pattern appearing exactly when the RSI is deeply oversold and price bounces off a key Fibonacci level.
It's not a whisper anymore.
Exactly. That's a synchronized shout. It creates a signal with vastly higher probability and confidence that any single element could achieve on its own. So STA is really about blending that Eastern wisdom, the Western analysis, and the sheer processing power of computers. The core belief, as the book puts it, is that the total effect is greater than the sum of effects taken independently. It's synergy.
Wow. What an incredible deep dive. It really feels like we've gone from ancient rice markets to, well, the cutting edge of financial tech. It just shows how this 17th century technique can offer such profound insights into today's really complex markets, especially, as you say, when combined with powerful Western indicators and now the analytical muscle of AI. It really is about gaining that multifaceted understanding, isn't it? Not just relying on a single viewpoint.
Absolutely. Which brings up a final thought, perhaps.
Yeah.
How do you, the listener, apply this kind of broad, multidisciplinary, almost renaissance approach in your own pursuit of knowledge, not just in markets, but anywhere? The authors suggest that long-term success often comes from, and I'm quoting loosely here, taking all the paths and seeing the problem from all angles.
Mm.
So maybe that invites you to continually explore how different, diverse perspectives can enrich your understanding of any complex system you're interested in, whether that's, you know, global markets or something much closer to home.